Good morning. And welcome to our morning worship. Just a few notices for this week then. On Wednesday at 8 o'clock, it's our prayer meeting, our prayer meeting on Zoom. And on this coming Friday, it's our first church cafe, which will open at 9 a.m. And on Friday again at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. that is, it's our Bible study on Zoom. And of course, we invite you to join us next Sunday for our morning worship. On Thursday, the 7th of April, at 7:30, Hope Coventry are to hold an online evening of discussion regarding what local initiatives are available to help the Ukrainian and other local refugees. There is an online sign-on available if you wish to attend. I've got that on my phone, and David's got some details as well. And he's got more details of this and other initiatives which Coventry Hope is running. So if you need an update on that, and you need to get the details for the log-on, I'm sure David can give it to you before you leave this morning. Well, on that note, David.
Thank you, Barry. Well, I hope everyone had a good rest, got to sleep an extra hour early last night. Can't say I did, but I still woke up at the usual time this morning, so that was good. Just to say as well, those who are on the emailing list, the information Barry said about with the refugees coming in, the webinar that's been given, all the information is actually there. And there's a lot of good things actually in the Hope magazine. Just put you in touch with what's happening within the Christian world, within Coventry. They do a lot of good things. So it's worth looking there. But I've asked to put it in there. Just, some of you may be interested. You may know someone else who's interested. Barry or I or someone else can send them the link if they don't have it, because it's for free. They can even subscribe themselves. Don't have to be a Christian if you just want to know what's kind of going on there. So please just come and ask if you're at all interested. Well, let us come this morning as we come and gather on this second Sunday of spring. Let us just pray and lift our prayers to God. Father, as we come to you this morning, we really ask your blessing upon this time. Lord, we pray as you are present with us, that Lord, you would speak and communicate to us as we come to communicate with you. As we pray, as we sing, as James and David leads us in worship, may our worship be acceptable and from the heart of you, Lord. I pray if any of us have come with a heavy heart, that, Lord, we will lay it down at your feet. If any of us have come troubled with something in our life, whether it's a sin, that we would find forgiveness at your feet. And that, Lord, whatever burden we're carrying, that we can come, any care that we have, any anxiety we have, that we can bring it before your feet. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to share a little testimony, actually, as we begin. Joyce West bought us a coaster. I think it was for the kids at Christmas time. And it's a Bible verse. And the Bible verse is not the Bible verse how I would have read it. And it says, cast your anxieties on the Lord, for he cares for you. And it's quoted, I think, from Peter, but it's elsewhere in the Bible. Do you know everyone that comes into the house looks at that coaster and reads it? And some people have repeated it back to us. And every single one of our kids, because of that coaster, has learned that verse off by heart. And even sometimes when they're worried and we've talked to them about the worry, it says, yes, we can bring all our anxieties to God. Isn't that what we should be doing, acting upon what the Bible says? And is it no wonder that in Deuteronomy it tells us, write the Bible down, put it on your walls, put it on your doorpost, put it on places where you can see it, because that way you're going to remember it, and that way it's going to go into your heart, and you will do it. So I just wanted to share that with you as we come this morning. So let us rise and sing our fourth song together.
Thank you.
Now, just to explain, if you're wondering why there's no children this morning, they are here. They just were doing it slightly different. They've requested to come in at the end. So no panic. We are remembering Mother's Day, but they're inside there, and that's where all the children will go. So if a parent does come in here with kids, please just guide them in to the Sunday school. But that's where the children are. They will come in at the end. Now, I don't have anyone's birthday, so I'm just going to come to a time of prayer, and then we are going to continue on. We'll continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine, not just here and now, but let us remember these things ourselves throughout the day. And I don't know whether it's just my mind works this way, but there's refugees all over the world in war-torn countries. It's not just the one place we see in the news. There's so much. We can't help in every situation. Let us ask God, where can we help? You know, there's people I've known that have told me that some of their relatives, their wife is either from Ukraine, the husband's from Ukraine, the husband's gone back from the UK to fight, and the wives have come here with the children to stay in a household. And thank God for those people that are able to do this thing. But we always need to ask, God, what do you want me to do? There's so much out there, but what can I do? But let us at least come in prayer and lift our request to God. Because one thing I've learned by prayer, you may pray for money and pray for a breakthrough. The money doesn't fall from heaven into your lap. It comes through someone else. And maybe through your prayers, you may be the answer, or someone else is going to be steered to be the answer. God knows how to answer our prayers. Let's not figure that out. But let us come with our requests now. Father, as we gather upon this day, Lord, we just bring ourselves before you and thank you for the privilege of being able to come before your throne. And that, Lord, through what Jesus has done, when we come and confess and accept him as Lord and Savior, when we hear the gospel call and receive the message and receive it as the word of God and you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, that we can be called sons and daughters of God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing, Lord, that you call and have came to save sinners. You will come again for the righteous to gather them to yourself. But when you came first, you came to call sinners. And every one of us are sinners, Lord. No matter how good we try to live or how bad we try to live. And we thank God that you, Jesus, paid the price for our sin. And we just want to thank you for such a wonderful salvation you've given us. But Lord, may we not make this message of the gospel seem so unpalatable to the world. May we not try and dilute its message to try and make it a little bit more receptive to the world. But Lord, may we be faithful. And just like your word says, those who have recognized me before people, I will recognize them when I come again. But those who have denied me before people, I will deny when I come again. Give us your courage to live for you and to do what we can. Lord, we want to celebrate anyone having their birthday today. We want to celebrate everyone who is a part of this church. And Lord, we're also aware, maybe sometimes more than others, there are those who have not yet returned, or those who may not ever return to our church. But Lord, we pray that they will return to you if they have drifted away, and that, Lord, they would return to this church and find a home again. Well, that, Lord, you would do a work in their hearts as well as in ours, leading us and drawing us closer to you. We cannot serve you by our own strength, but we must look and trust to you. We have record after record of men and women in the Bible who have so done and has given us an example. And Lord, we want to thank you for your ample provision. Father, we want to pray for those also sick and vulnerable amongst us, that you will bless them and draw close to them. Those with terminal illness, those who are struggling with old age, those who may be struggling with mental illness, whatever it may be, or with pressures that they are dealing with in life. Maybe they're facing a crossroads, but Lord, may they know when they turn and call to you that they face it with you, and that when we look to you and follow you, you go before us and you go with us. You do not abandon us. but you are there. You may not take the situation away, but you'll give us the strength to go through it. Father, we want to pray for the Ukraine and the situation that is going on there, as well as in other parts of the world. We know you said that wars and rumors of wars will come. We know and have seen the evidence of years of hostility between different ethnic groups, even within countries, civil wars as well as wars and world wars that have taken place, that still, in some cases, remnants could carry on today. Not a world war, but these other tensions that we see overflow. We look at Syria, Yemen. Lord, there are countries in Africa also. There are countries in parts of Asia and throughout the world, Lord, that are still suffering the effects of civil war and such tension. But we look and pray to you and ask that you will come and bring resolve in these situations. We lift our eyes to you, though we may not understand why they take place, that, Lord, you would intervene. And we have the hope as Christians that a day is going to come when you are going to do away with all war, that you are going to do away, Lord God, with all of these things, and you will establish righteousness, and the glory of the Lord will cover all of the earth, and that all the nations will come and worship the King, the Lord of lords and King of kings, who alone is earth's rightful ruler. And Father, we want to especially also pray for mothers this Sunday. Lord, every woman has the capacity to be a mother, whether they've born children or not, and every woman is motherly and has that, Lord, in them. We want to pray you will bless them this Sunday. You will be with them, and not just this day, but every day. Draw close to them and uphold them. May they receive the honor due to them, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to sing our next song. There'll be several Bible readings this morning if you wish to follow along in your Bibles. I will be touching upon some more, but some of them are repetitive and may not be read. But the first one will be in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. The next one will be in Exodus chapter 20. Let me get the exact verse now. Verse 12, and then I may also read one other reading from Romans chapter 14. I'll give you the verse if I decide to read it. But let's start with Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Skipping on to Exodus 20, verse 12, in the midst of the Ten Commandments, verse 12 says this: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. And in fact, we can read also in chapter 21, there's some miscellaneous verses given there, just in Exodus 21, verse 17, where it says this: he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. In fact, there is also an incident in the Bible where this takes place, but it will put to death. Maybe if that was in place today, we'd have probably a different society, but maybe thank God it's not in place today. And just for context, I will also read Romans, and you will understand during the message why I chose Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, reading from verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord does not observe it. I want us to remember this verse, mark that verse out in your Bible, and hopefully when we come to the message, it should become clear why. Hopefully that's not coming for this church, but going somewhere else. Okay, let us pray and sing our next song. Father, we just pray and ask that you will bless your word and everyone who hears and heeds it. Amen. Let us sing our next song. Thank you. Father, as I come to speak your word, I just pray you will just give me your anointing and the fullness of your spirit to speak in accordance to the call of which you have called me. Lord, in any way I've sinned against you, may you cleanse me this morning. Lord, those things I have done in ignorance, Lord, may you wash me. Those things that I have done openly, Lord, may you offer your mercy and grace, but may it in no way hinder your word and your spirit having its way amongst us this morning. Lord, give us hearing ears to hear. Give us eyes to see the wonders in your word. Paul the Apostle prayed for the Ephesian Christians that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, your word is not for scholars. It's not just for people with higher education to understand it, but your word also says it is hidden from those that have not accepted you. It's hidden from those who do not love you. It's hidden from those who do not follow you. But for those that do follow, you give us a spirit of understanding and you reveal the simplicity of your message. May it go deep into our hearts. May the devil bring no confusion to any of us this morning, but may you have your way. Amen. Now, I want to preach this morning, not on continuing on about salvation as I was, but I want to acknowledge Mother's Day. And I want to speak about the orange of Mother's Day, the origins of Mother's Day. Not the oranges, I'm getting tongue-tied, I need a glass of water. That's what it is. The origins and the precedent of why I've preached this morning. And yes, I felt the Lord wants me to preach on this, but why I've chosen to preach on it. And why on other days I will not venerate or acknowledge them. And I want to give you the biblical principle from Romans that I read from. But first of all, I want to say the origins, because I had quite a revelation on the origins of Mother's Day. We have Mother's Day, Father's Day, every other day, Women's National Day of Prayer. You have all sorts of days on the calendar. And in fact, Mother's Day in other countries is not being celebrated today. It's in other times of the year. And I know this because my wife is Zimbabwean by birth. They don't. Am I right in saying this tonight? They're not celebrating in Mandla. They're not celebrating Mother's Day today. It's on a completely different day. People do it differently. But the origins of it are Christian, but they're not biblical, and neither are they by command directly. You can say indirectly, and hopefully I will prove that from the Bible. But Mothering, it was actually called Mothering Sunday, and it had actually got to do with, started in the 16th century, not sure where, possibly somewhere in Europe, as it would have been the hotbed of Christianity then. It started for those who have moved away from the churches, that there was a particular Sunday that they'd come back to visit their mothering church, or in those days it was most likely a cathedral or something along that level. But that's where it began. Its beginnings had nothing got to do with honouring women. It had got to do with coming back to your mother church. And it's interesting. I don't know whether you've ever realized this. I've had quite an exposure. We're going around with different Christian denominations. And even some people will leave and be led to go to a different church. And what I mean by this, you could have grown up a Methodist, and then God's led you into, say, the Baptist church, or a charismatic church you feel led into, and you commit to there. But no matter where you go, you're always going to bear something of the marks, sometimes, of where you've come from. And if that minister in that church has done a good job, you should be grounded in Scripture. And I've heard testimony after testimony of this, but there's some things we do need to let go of. And I always remember one gentleman, we were in a meeting in the church, and he was a Methodist. And we were just discussing things, as we do in meetings, and he jumped up in the meeting and says, "I'm glad to be a Methodist." And every one of us looked at each other thinking, I don't know what this gentleman is talking about. Or we weren't even discussing Methodism or even anything in relation to what he was talking about. And it wasn't even a Methodist church meeting. But that's really got nothing got to do with my message. I just thought I'd just throw that in there as a little bit of an extra this morning. But when you come, you need to know the origins of things. And why I said that about Mothering Sunday is because you have things that are celebrated in the world. They may be good and they may be bad. There may be certain things that are celebrated that is neither here nor there. But we need to be careful of what we align ourselves with that the world celebrates. You can celebrate Valentine's Day if you want. Personally, I don't. Because I don't see any biblical precedent for it. You may call me not a romantic. You may all want to stone me after here, all the women. But go and ask Margaret, do I love her and do I show love to her? I don't choose a day to do it. And I don't choose a day that if I book a meal, it's going to be twice as much as if I'd done it the week after or the week before. You can call me tight, you can call me whatever, but I'm thinking, no, I'm not getting sucked into a day. But if you want to do that day, so as unto the Lord, you have a biblical precedent to do it. See, you may judge me, and I may judge you if you celebrate the day. But really, if you read what Romans chapter 14 says, let's read it. Mark this out in your Bible. And if you can do this, then you can make any day as holy and as set apart for the right reasons. But make sure you're doing it not for the world's reasons, but for the reasons that are pleasing to God. Listen to what Romans chapter 14 says. Hang on, I'm not skipping too far into Corinthians. It says this. It's very interesting passages. We all know Romans chapter 12, but not many of us read beyond that to the end. Chapter 16 you can probably leave out because it's just a bunch of people that he's writing to and acknowledging. But if you read in chapter 14, verse 5, he says, look, in fact, let me read from verse 1 of chapter 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things, for one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak only eats vegetables. Now, you must remember, they grew up in a culture that when you went to the meat market, it was being sacrificed to idols, or it was being dedicated to other people. And some people thought, I'm not going to buy that meat that's been offered as it's been offered up and done in a certain way. I don't want to eat it. And some people thought, I'll only eat vegetables. That's safe. I can grow them myself, for I know the person who I buy them from. And other people are, well, it doesn't matter who that is dedicated to, because it can be sanctified with a word of prayer. But he's making an argument that if your brother or sister's faith is weak, then for their sake, eat vegetables rather than ruin their faith by eating meat and destroy their faith. Not that they're weaker in the sense, but you think of your brother, think of your sister. But listen to what it goes on to say in verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, whether it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, Sunday, Saturday, whatever day of worship, whoever esteems that day, let it be in his own mind, and he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. That's the most important thing of that verse. If you want to set apart a day as holy, set it apart as holy. I've heard people argue over why Sunday should be the day of Sabbath. I've got no problem with it being Sunday. But I remember one brother who was a builder and roofer. He had his own business back in Ireland. And anyone can relate to this. He always vehemently said, you should do no work on Sunday. No shops are opened. Nothing. You're not to do any work. Don't lift a hammer. Nothing. And one day he was having this argument in church. And another brother observed what he was wearing. He says, hang on. Are they your Sunday clothes? He says, no. He says, what are they? He says, they're my walking clothes. He says, what day is it? He says, Sunday. He says, why have you got your walking clothes on? He says, because I had to go to a job. Because there was a bit of an accident and there was a bit of a leak from the roof. He says, so you did work on a Sunday. And right at that matter, he went as red as a tomato and went as silent as a church mouse. Because sometimes we need to be careful when we hold to something that we end up breaking, because we end up becoming a hypocrite to people. But listen to what Paul says. Listen, if you want to hold the day as holy, hold it as holy, but hold it as unto the Lord. Not what the world says. Because Mother's Day no longer believes going back to your mother, church. It's a day for honouring women. And I'm going to give a biblical precedent of why I acknowledge women on Mother's Day, as from the Bible. But there are many things in the Bible that you're not... Now they're trying to change the language. It's not about mothers anymore. Let's say Women's Day. What about people that can't bear children? And all these things. And the world keeps on changing and has all these different things. If you cannot keep a day as unto the Lord, then you should not be keeping it. If you can say, I'm going to have a day where I'm going to do nothing day. That's my day to just lounge around and I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. Do you think that's acceptable? You know, if you can do it unto the Lord, if you can be convinced in your heart, that's up to you. Are you going to say, I'm going to have a day, I'm going to have beat my wife day, and I'm going to do it unto the Lord? Is that acceptable? I don't think anyone in this room would say it is. And if you can't do it as unto the Lord, then don't do it. But if you want to set a day as holy, if you want to set days apart to fast or to acknowledge your mother, then do it. But I also want to make this point. Don't make it one day. Don't just make it one day. Why do you make it just one day? Why don't you do it every day? See, I said I don't celebrate Valentine's Day because I try to acknowledge and love my wife as many days as I can. Now, I've fallen short many times, no doubt. And as men, we have our own weaknesses we're not going to get into. And I'm not going to make the sermon about me or my wife for that matter. But I'm giving you the reasons why. And why I do things, I do them as unto the Lord, as every Christian should. And my precedent for doing so comes right out of the Bible. See, if you want to keep a day as holy, do so. But don't just let it be a day. You know, we live in a culture where sometimes we get so subsumed and individualistic. When someone dies, some of us live with so much regret. And in some cases, that could be a parent, it could be a friend. And we carry a guilt. You know why? You think, you know what? I should have spent more time with them. I should have been with them more. I should have been there. And you ever hear when someone dies, all the beautiful things that are said in the funeral? And I'm thinking, Lord, I'd rather my grave be ignored and no gravestone be on it, and for me to stay in that ground until you come again when I hear that trumpet and I rise again with the righteous to see you. I'd rather have nothing said at my funeral, but rather be honored in the days that I live. You know, this is actually true. I think it's a little bit sick. You may have a different impression. There's a place, and I'm not sure whether it's America, where people are having false funerals, where the person hasn't died, but they do a funeral service, and the person lies down in the coffin, has an open funeral, and people are supposed to do the funeral. Because they say, well, I want to hear the things that are going to be said about me. Now, that's a wrong way of going about it. This is true. This isn't some false fact from your preacher. It's there. This is actually happening. Someone sent me the article before. I couldn't believe it. But I'm making the point. And maybe out of that twisted way, we need to honor one another sometimes in life. Don't wait until you live in regret when your mother and father dies. Show them honor. And that, I'm not saying by words, by action. Because I don't know about you. I get sick and tired of hearing people say sorry when they don't show any action that they're sorry. And it's not, I'm not talking about children, I'm talking about adults. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have did that. If you have caused offense, you know the way you show you're sorry is not by words, it's by action. There's people in my life that have never once told me they love me. Never once. But you know what? They don't have to, because they show it. I know that there's people when they accept you, you know when you're accepted. And people that will come through this church will know they're accepted. You know why they'll know they're accepted? Because they'll be loved. Love transcends words. Sometimes the words are not backed up with action. But as it is Mothering Sunday, I want to draw this distinctly now just down to mothers. And I want to say this. Every woman has the capacity to be a mother. And there are some people, for whatever reasons, are not able to bear children. For whatever reason that is. But every woman is a mother. And every woman is motherly. Some of the people that I found most motherly have never borne a child in their life. And there was actually once a testimony of a woman who came from Norway. I never met the woman. She passed away long before I was born. But she had a career as a teacher. And she had a whole career ahead of her. She was going to get engaged to this man. I don't know how the customs are in Norway. But I read this biography about her life. I can't remember her name. Her husband's name was Derek Prince, who's an Englishman who married her after the Second World War. But this woman felt a call from God, never got married, to go to then Israel. That wasn't the nation that it was now. It wasn't how it was after World War II. And she went and she served in a community called Ramallah and reached out to these people with no running water, no money. She had no one sending her money as a missionary. She went there because God told her to go there. She sacrificed marriage. She never had children, but yes, she did have children. Because so many girls and so many boys came to her. And she said by faith and prayer, food would be given and supplied by people around them. No running water, nothing. And yet she raised about 12 children in an orphanage. And I remember listening to this man's Derek Prince service one time. And he says his grandchildren come to his house from those children that they raised. You know why? Because she was their mother. And he became their father. Not by birth. But she took care of them. She mothered them. She raised them. And every woman today, whether you have born children or you have not had children, is a mother in the eyes of God. And has that capacity in them. And the reason why I look for a biblical precedent to serve Mother's Day and to acknowledge it, and why I do acknowledge it, is for this reason. When you turn to Exodus, as we read, Exodus says these words. Many of us know the Ten Commandments. But do you know that it says in verse 12, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now I know it says father and mother, but let's focus upon our mothers. You know what it says, honor? Do you realize that this comes with a promise? And the reason I mention this one verse is because Paul repeats it in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says these words, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, because the verse says that it may be well with you and that you may live on the earth. Now, I won't read the next bit because that's for Father's Day. But you see what it says? See, in honoring your parents, some of us have had good parents, some of us have probably had not so good parents. But the Bible says you're still to honor them. Now, if you've been wronged by your parents, they are going to stand accountable to God for any wrong that they've done. If they've sought forgiveness from God, God is merciful. It doesn't mean you need to agree with them. It's like forgiveness. When you forgive someone, it's not saying if you were abused by them, either physically, sexually, or you are tormented and bullied by people. It's not saying that what they did is right. The forgiveness is as much for you. To say, you know what, I'm choosing to forgive them because you're the person that's going to be affected by the forgiveness. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can cause sickness, illness. It comes with friends like envy and all these other things that can come. Bitterness, anger. Do you ever see someone in old age and their face is all screwed up? They just look like they're angry all the time. And you look at other people and they've got a peaceful face. You know, our face is the mirror of the soul, just like your eyes are. Your face can often tell, just like when you look into someone's eyes. You see all this effect upon them. And you look at some people and you're not judging them, but they just look miserable. That's what unforgiveness can do. But do you realize when God says this, that look, you are to honor your mother and your father. You're not agreeing with any wrong that they've done, or even agreeing with the good that they've done, but it's a choice to take care of them. And that may be with financially providing for them, offering security to them in old age, just as they took care of you when you were a baby and your parents got old. We should honor and take care of them. But it's showing them honor. Now, parents can abuse this, fathers and mothers, in all sorts of cultures, where the mothers try to have a dominating effect in marriages, in all sorts of things. And I know growing up in Ireland, not all mothers, but some of them dote so much love over the sons as to the neglect of the daughters. And that, I don't think that that is right at all. I don't think favoritism is right in those ways. But the Bible says, look, honor your mother and your father. Doesn't mean you're going to agree with them, but make sure, even in your disputes with them, you're still loving and respectful towards your parents. You know, we all want to raise our kids up in the right way, but as children, we have a responsibility, not just that our parents have a responsibility towards us. We're responsible for how we treat our parents. I'm going to be honest with you. I've listened to some people my age and younger, and I've seen it in this church. I'm not naming names. And I've heard things said. I thought, that is just downright disrespectful to ever speak to your mother like that, or to your father. I have never once raised my voice to my parents. I've gotten a clout once or twice from my parents, and I deserved it. This is long before the days where they probably could have been put in prison for it. My parents didn't beat me, but I got one or two clatters in time. Why? Because of my disrespect. Because we should honor people. And I can have an honorable dispute with my parents now. I'm still that child. I'm a grown man with kids of my own. But in everything I do, I try to honor them. When I disagree with them, I don't belittle them. And when I can, I help them and are there for them. Because that's what... Look, honor may look like different things to different people. But I also want your mothers to know that you may not get the honor from your children you deserve. Maybe you do. But God honors you. And God loves you. And children, if you want a blessing from God, that's quoted in the Old and the New Testament. Honor your parents. There's another actual blessing that comes in Psalm 34, it's quoted in Peter. If you want to live a long life and live a good life, then watch what you say about other people. But I want to go also, this is, I'm going to be closing in 1 minute, maybe two. Jesus quotes these verses. Listen to what he says when he was challenged in chapter 15 of Matthew. He says this in verse 1, that the scribes came to him and the Pharisees, when he was in Jerusalem, who were from Jerusalem, and they came to Jesus and said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." But he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or his mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is nothing more than a gift from God.'" And again, if you go over to chapter 19, verse 19, it says these words. In fact, just let me read the verse previous. Jesus said, when he was asked about what commandments to keep, "You shall not murder, You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, children, I put this to you. We are all children of somebody here, and we're all children of God. Make sure that we give the rightful honor to those who bore us in their womb, who nursed us and took care of us. And if you want a blessing, honor your parents. As God says, this comes with a blessing. You want to be blessed? Now, some of you, your parents are no longer alive. And maybe you may ask God, how can I honor the memory of my parent? Go and do business with God. But for those who are living, for those who may not have even bore you, but have mothered you and took care of you, maybe you were raised by an auntie or your grandmother. And if they're alive, how can you show honor to them? See, it's great when people serve you. But you know, in turn, as being served and taken care of, you ought to do likewise in return. Let us seek to honor those who are mothers amongst us, whether they have borne children or not. Maybe there's a relative. Maybe there's a neighbor. And don't just do it on one day. Seek to do it on many days. Seek to do it not just on Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day or whatever day you call it. You know, I had to go get a glass of water this morning. You know why? Because I cooked one of Margaret's favourite lunches and breakfasts. It's a scrambled egg with salmon, and I had some as well, so I was quite thirsty because of the salmon. But you know why I did it? Because she loves it. You know why I did it? Because I know it would be meaningful. You know why I did it? Because she's not my mother, but she's the mother of my children that asked to cook something in the morning. And in that way, they have honoured their mother. That's the way we should do it. Now I'm going to ask Nathan to go and call in the Sunday school. They're going to come in and they're going to take over. I don't know what they're going to do, but hopefully it's within order, there's no doubt.
Good morning, everybody. Today is the world is celebrating Mother's Day, and today we're talking in worship areas about honoring our fathers and mothers and also acknowledging significant women in our lives. We do understand that Mother's Day can be difficult for people, and we just want to encourage you that God knows some of you is here thinking of different losses that you may not share with anybody, but God knows. Just know He's with you today, and He will know your heart and where you are, and He will comfort you. And for those who are celebrating their mothers, may God bless you. And for all those who have been mothers in whatever role, form, or shape, God also wants to know that He's pleased with you. So the children, some of them, if they remain brave, are going to say some blessings and some prayers. Okay, are you ready, Kendra? Come on. This is Kendra's first time using a mic. She's being very brave.
Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. Luke 1:45. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His kindness. May He have mercy on you. May the Lord watch over you and give you peace.
This is a prayer to all the mothers and women, which are very important. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May He remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed.
They are going to come round and just give you some bookmarks. We hope that you'll be blessed by bookmarks. If you're not reading any book, at least read the bookmark and what's there. We will be watching and asking questions next week. Okay. We're just going. Is there going to be a song at the end? Okay. We're going to close in prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Father, as everybody's celebrating Mother's Day, we just want to thank you that everybody matters to you, men, women, and children. We thank you, Lord, that in your word, you remember mothers, you remember the barren women, you remember the single women, and you remember the widows. Lord, nobody is forsaken or forgotten in your sight. So, Father, I pray that you bless every woman today, whether in this church or throughout the community, that they will know your love, your peace, your joy, the abundance of your blessing, Lord. There are those that are suffering losses and remembering in that, Lord, may you comfort them. Those who are rejoicing and celebrating, Lord, we celebrate with them, Lord. So we pray that, Lord, you bless each person and the men, because they also have mothers. Bless them that they will be a blessing to their own mothers. We thank you for your goodness towards us, and bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father will comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. God loved us. Through his grace, he gave us hope and comfort that continues forever. Amen.